This is Biz. I'm a part-time working mom with a preschooler and a full-blown kid.
And I'm Teresa. I have a family business, two kids under six, and a baby on the way.
This is a show about life after giving life. Don't listen with your kids, because there will be swears. This is One Bad Mother. This week on One Bad Mother, No I Didn't, a.k.a. Kids and Alternative Facts. Plus, Biz goes to Disneyland, Teresa has a baby, so we are joined by guest host Britt Erickson, and we talk to Meg Collins of Lucy's List.
Woo!
Ooh.
That's
Britt,
big.
I know, Britt. And that is maybe like the second or third time ever somebody else has wooed in this booth.
I feel very honored.
It's a big deal. How was it for you?
The hairs on my arms up.
So, something's different today, guys. And what it is our wonderful, lovely Teresa went into labor a lot earlier than we expected. And so Curtis Thorne is now with us in the world, which is very exciting. So this was supposed to be Teresa's last show before she went on maternity leave, and it's not. Which is fine. So joining me is the first of what's going to be many exciting guest hosts on the show. It's a chance for us to have conversations with other people parenting out in the world, which is fun. So today joining me is Britt Erickson, who you may remember from our first season. She came on as a guest and talked about her work with Pilates and in particular, laughing and peeing, sneezing and peeing, jumping and peeing, moving and peeing, sleeping and being basically some pelvic floor issues.
Yep.
And how she overcame them with some work, which is pretty awesome and mind-blowing. Welcome to the guest host spot, Britt.
Thank you. Very excited.
Why don't we just start with checking in on how you do. Who lives in your house? Actually, let's start with that so people know who you are.
Okay. Well, who lives in my house is my husband, Eric. I'm from Boston originally, so there are certain words I cannot say. One of them is my husband's name. He is Eric.
Eric.
And Mira Terahara, those are the others. But my husband, Eric, and my daughter, Ryan, who is almost seven, and then two insane dum-dum dogs that I love to pieces, Georgie and Mikey, who insist on peeing on everything in my house, including each other.
That doesn't sound the least bit stressful at all.
No, it smells great.
Oh, my God. Well, how are you? How are you doing? We haven't talked in a while, actually. Britt and I are actually friends from worlds before One Bad Mother, from before kids. We used to be cool guys and do sketch comedy all over the country.
Yep.
She was part of a group called Troop, based out of L.A., who are just some of our favorite people and does some of our favorite sketches ever. So let's just, in all reality, I don't know how you're doing. So how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Yeah. I mean, we're doing well. It's like time marches on and my kid is about to turn seven. And, you know, and that's been a huge, I don't know. Like, I'm at a place where I'm like, what? My baby's gone. Yeah. And now who am I?
Well, because now here's what's interesting, because I am in the land of two.
Yeah.
Teresa is now the one with three. And you are a one and done-er, to coin a tacky phrase.
Yep.
And I guess you're like the first one of us then to hit the window of my kid's pretty much in school all the time now. And now I don't have like the schedule now becomes about holidays and weird, you know, breaks and that. But you like have now entered the thing that I think I am probably falsely fantasizing about is going to be some sort of miracle time when both of my children are in school full time. And I will ask that question of who am I? I remember my mother was like, somebody said to her when I was in, by the time I went into first grade, well, now what are you going to do?
Right.
And she was like, I don't know.
Right.
So she went to law school.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, you know what I've been doing is I've been having lots of lunches.
Oh.
Lots of lunches. And I've been, I I am eating all the time.
It's time to lunch.
Yeah, I'm like, let's lunch. You know, but I'm seeking out all of these friends and acquaintances that I haven't seen, but also seeing, what the heck are you doing?
Yeah.
And so we sit down. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah.
And so then there, I'm getting ideas.
Oh, that's
because,
a really good idea.
Yeah. So I've just, you know, and even I've called people up that I haven't talked to in 5 years. I'm like, hey, you remember me? And they're like, no. I'm like, do you want to have lunch? Do you want to have lunch? And they're like, what are you talking about? And it's been really awesome because I'm reconnecting with all these people. And you and I are having lunch next week, but you know, I'm reconnecting with all these people, and it's been really good because I'm starting to kind of get excited where I was kind of feeling depressed and sad because it's like my baby is like, don't embarrass me in front of my friends. And I'm like, you're not even 7.
Oh, I'm going to embarrass.
Yeah.
Watch me
already,
bring the embarrass.
Yeah. I mean that I was born, you know, I'm weird mom.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm weird mom. Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay. So, but it's been, I'm kind of getting really excited because I'm like looking out to people and starting to reach out to say, what the heck are you doing? And now I'm getting excited about what I'm going to do next.
What's so smart about this is you're having a different conversation with people than you have been having, because I know all my conversations are sort of about survival right now or venting. Or just like, oh my God, you know, like, I'm not sleeping, I'm not this, I'm not whatever. Like, they're all sort of focused on how am I supposed to be living with these children that are in my house versus this new conversation of, what are you doing now? Like, it's not about the kids anymore. It's about, the question becomes, what are you doing?
Right.
Which then makes it easier to ask yourself that question. That's really good, Brett. I think that's really smart.
I'm trying to be smart.
That's a very good use of your lunchtime.
I'm trying, you know, because it's been good. And it's, you know, because I also feel like at the base and the root of everything is my work in Pilates. Like, that's the base of it. But it's also like I have to evolve now.
Yeah.
You know, because it is. I have more free time. Yeah. And if I am
How are you
going to
use it?
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
Yeah. Biz.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm all right. My kids are in two different schools, on two different schedules, so that's great. So I'm jealous of you.
Sorry.
Stop having your free time at me. We just came back from a 3-day, 2-night vacation at Disneyland. We did it. We haven't gone on a proper vacation in a really long time, and it takes a lot of effort to get Steph and I both on the same page of, we're going to go on a vacation and have fun. So we did it, and it was really good, guys. It worked out well overall. It got a little weird at times because Ellis, as I mentioned last time on the show, we go through a lot of animal play, and I was so excited last week because he was a chicken, and chickens walked, and that was great, but now he's a bunny, and bunnies don't walk. They hop. And they don't talk well, and it's like very difficult. And also, whenever he was in the stroller, which is a miracle that he was in it because we don't use a stroller with him, but we weren't walking Disney with a toddler. I don't have it in me. In the stroller, he had to be in charge of starting and stopping it with the noise boop. So, like, to start, boop, now you can go. Boop, now you can. But, like, it's really hard to hear that at Disney. And so it would go from, like, boop, oh, we didn't hear him, to immediate, like, boop, boop. Like, and he's, like, arching and sliding out of the. And so, like, it's a lot of, like, weird starting and stopping, like, all over Disneyland, and then rabbit play at Disneyland. And, guys, Ellis doesn't use the bathroom out in public. As we all know, he only uses it at the house, at the school, and in the back of my car. And so we really had to prepare mentally for this. So we had the, like, portable potty, which he would use in the hotel room, but only in front of the full, wide-open, curtain-open window that faced out at the whole Disneyland resort and pool area, which was awesome. You're welcome, guests of Disneyland. The king has arrived on his throne. But in the park, it was a different story. So we made it work. I'm going to share a little of that for the genius segment of the show to let you guys know how we got around it in the park. For the one or two successes we had, the rest of the time, the takeaway was my kid's really good at holding it. So that's good. That's
good.
There you go. Speaking of holding it, today we're going to talk a little bit about when our kids decide to withhold the truth, possibly, and maybe instead rely on I don't know, there's a popular phrase for it these days. What is it? I think it's alternative facts.
please take a moment to remember, if you're friends of the hosts of One Bad Mother, you should assume that when we talk about other moms, we're talking about you.
If you are married to the host of One Bad Mother, we definitely are talking about you.
Nothing we say constitutes professional parenting advice.
Miss and Teresa's children are brilliant, lovely, and exceedingly extraordinary.
Nothing said on this podcast about them implies otherwise.
Britt.
Yes.
Alternative facts. Let's set this up. So this is when I think, like, this started happening, I guess, probably around the time Katie Bell was maybe 5, 6. Really, we're really deep in it in the 6s and 7s. And that is where she wholeheartedly will either be convinced of some reality that is not true for the rest of us. And
right.
I don't mean make-believe. I mean, like, Katie Bell, what do you want for dessert tonight? Ice cream. Okay. 10 minutes later, I bring out the ice cream, and she's like, I want the Hershey Kiss. I wanted the leftover Hershey Kiss for dessert. No, you asked for ice cream. No, I didn't. I asked for the Hershey Kiss. No, no,
right.
Katie Bell, ice cream came out of your mouth. No, it didn't. I asked for the Hershey Kiss. I absolutely did not say ice cream. I'm like, oh, my God, you said ice cream. And then, like, we're all being gaslit in our own house. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like,
because that's her truth.
That's her truth.
That's her truth.
That's right. Well, fuck her truth.
Yeah.
I have a point to make with my child, and that is I'm not the one going crazy.
Well.
I know. Maybe. So do you have... So let's talk about Ryan, who I have always enjoyed being a child who has a personality that is definitely...
She sure does.
Yeah.
Yeah, she sure does.
My favorite story. I don't think we shared this when you were a guest. But when she was maybe 3 years old, she comes over to our house, and we have a one-eyed cat named Onion.
Oh, yeah.
And Ryan came in, and she saw the first cat, Bee, who was... has all of its parts.
He's whole.
And then Ryan kind of lost her shit about Onion. And I was like, what's going on? And Britt's like, Ryan doesn't like things that are broken.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that was inspired by Disney.
Yeah. Oh.
Because we saw a Disney parade and Heimlich the Caterpillar is actually like 6 different people.
Oh, yeah.
And they broke apart and destroyed her baby brain.
Oh.
And yeah, her baby brain broke apart with Heimlich, and that was the rest of our lives.
Nice.
And my daughter, she holds on. Like, she does not forget. She does not forget. So for 6 years, we had to deal with that. And so, so Onion. And I think developmentally, that is the point in time where they don't like things that are not whole.
Right.
So, you know, she's not a total nut job, but she is. Absolutely.
So how does she handle truth in your house?
Oh, my God.
How does she deal with alternative?
In her own way. In her own special way. But that's the thing, is that for her, it's true. It is true. You know? And so what we're having a hard time is the lying, like, but right in front of your face.
Right.
And so my daughter is like baby teenager, and she will steal our phones and start texting our friends.
Who is she texting?
She's texting our friend Lisa. She's texting my mom. And
what is she saying? Is she like emoticon texting?
Yeah,
or is she like, hey, what's going on?
No, she'll take pictures of cats. Like,
whole
or
cats.
Not, I lied. Whole cats. No one-eyed broken cats. Who, by the way, that cat could leap up in the air and grab.
Oh, yeah. My cat Onion is so not
insane.
Broken.
No, not at all. And, you know, and that's the other thing, too. Is so, you know, she will, because no one is parenting her. I want to just say. I'm like, I look around. I'm like, could somebody parent this kid? Like, because you know people listening going, why does she have your phone? Because I'm not parenting her.
I'm more like,
because I'm busy.
Less about how does she get your phone. I totally see how your child gets your phone. I'm more fascinated by, like, the concept of, like, a texting, like, who is she texting? Yeah. What does she have to say? Like, I barely have a need to text people. Yeah.
She has
a
more
grown
friends than
woman.
I do.
I know. Yeah. I'm like, huh.
Yeah.
And I also can just totally see, like, Ryan, just like she's, you know, like, blah, 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 text, emoji poop.
But people don't know it's not me because she's so good. So she'll send a picture of, like, of the dog or whatever. And then she'll say, what do you think about this? Is it good? And then they're like, why? And then one time she sent a picture of scary tarantulas. She had a book with a scary thing, and she sent it to a bunch of people. And then I get the text.
A bunch of people.
because she learned how to do that. So then I get the text back from all these people going, why are you doing this to me? And I'm like, oh.
So what do you say? You come out, you find her smoking a cigarette in the backyard, texting, hanging out behind the restaurant.
Yeah, she's like, I'm texting my friends.
Right, texting my friends.
And I said to her, I said, Ryan, you are not supposed to do that. And she said, I didn't. I'm like, well, you did.
It's in your hand. Like,
I mean, you can't. That's there.
Yeah.
That's reality now. And I said, you can't. And she says, well, you, this is what kills me is this is me, is the scapegoat. Okay. So she's like, no, you'd made me do this. I'm like, are you insane? What are you talking about? And she says, no, you distracted me.
Oh.
And
from my journey of being on my truth journey. Yeah, I was on my truth journey.
I was trying to not do what you said to not do, but you distracted me. And the TV distracted me. Oh, because, you know, we're double screening it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know that that's what's happening.
I was playing on my iPad, watching Disney Junior on the television set, and then you distracted me, and I had to go for a third device.
Yeah, and I'm just burning her learning tools. I'm just burning all of the, no, that's, So, but she's like, I was distracted. You distracted me, and so that's why I did it. And I'm like, whoa. That's a whole new level of, like, I am lying to your face, and... Yeah, and I'm blaming you
Andrew,
for it.
It's your fault.
Yeah, it's your fault.
It's your fault. That sounds so eerily familiar. Yeah. And I can't put my finger on where I'm hearing about this these days. Mm-hmm. Anyway, not a show about politics.
No.
So, okay. So, yeah, we have, there's the accepting their own truth to be one part of it. And, but then there is just the flat out, like, lying. And I think there is... Like, whenever, the first time I ever had Katie Bell, like, flat out lied to me about getting, and I shared it on the show, about her, like, getting a pocket knife out of my drawer and, like, opening it, not clearly not being able to close it, cutting herself, lying about the whole thing, the whole nine yards. And I was, like, so scarred for, like, a week. I was like, I can't believe she just flat out lied to me. Right. And then, as I would tell more veteran parents about it, they seemed totally less concerned about my daughter lying to me and more concerned about, like, the fact that I was, like, losing my mind. They were like, I used to do this. Think about when you did this. Did you ever break something and lie? Did you ever just not tell? Like, all that kind of stuff. So, like, I know that, like, lying is kind of part of it, but there's, but I feel like there's, that's, like, one developmental thing happening, okay? Mm. That's, like, the lying, right? Like, just trying this stuff out, like, whatever this is. Little sociopaths in the making, like, whatever they're doing. But then there's this, like, other thing happening where they're arguing with me about something that is not, like, true.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's less about the lie in this case and more about not being able to accept the fact that I'm correct. So, like,
but what do you do when that happens? When she lies to you, how do you handle it?
Well, so we don't have – so since the big lie, the big cutting your lie, I give it the, like, I pulled out all the parenting, you know, like, patience in the world, and I've been like – it's really important, you know, remember, there's nothing you can say that will ever make us stop loving you. And, like, there is no, you know, even if you've lied about something and you want to come tell us the truth later, you can. We're never going to be angry with you for telling us the truth. We may make horrible faces and have to leave the room for a second. But we will not, if you tell us the truth, you know. And so there have been times since then where she'll be like, you know, like a teacher, like a teacher's aide kept giving her stuff in school. Mm-hmm. And we had said that it's not okay for you to get special stuff and no one else to. It's a whole nother discussion, people.
Wow, yeah.
It took her, like, a whole day to, like, tell me about this new thing the teacher had given her, right? Like, you know, and I, you know, and it was after me having, like, gone through this whole thing of you shouldn't be getting stuff and blah, blah, blah. So I told her, I'm so proud of you. I went on and on for like 2 days. I'm so proud of you for telling me the truth, and that's so good, and we can solve this problem together, and, like, all that kind of stuff. So I'm good, I think, with the big alternative truths, with the big lies. For me, and that's just a lie.
Right.
Like, to me, that's just a lie. But the alternative truth shit is, like, where, like, while we were at Disneyland, we go to do Build-A-Bear, and we get through doing it, and both kids have these cats that smell.
And they're $900.
They're like, I don't think it's actually that bad if you don't get all the shit.
Well, that's...
You can't get all the stuff.
I got roller skates.
You can't get the roller skates,
I got
Brent.
Roller skates, and you got to have shoes that fit the roller skates.
You can't. Nope. You can't. Oh, yeah. Nope. You get a bear and you can get one shirt.
They tricked me.
And that is it. And Katie Bell, though, was like, you can get, it has to be like a shirt, like a one piece. Well, this dress with a vest is one piece. I'm like, sometimes you have to give it to them for being smarter than you. True. But the animal that she's bought, which is a cat, and she keeps calling it a bear. Right. And I keep telling her it's not a bear. It's a cat. It has a long tail. It has pointed ears and it has whiskers. And she's like, no, it's a bear. Because there were some other cats there, and they were on all four legs. So those are the, I'm like, well, that's just the style of toy that is. This is a, this is not a, this is a cat. She's like, it's a bear. It's a cat. It's a bear. It's a cat. It's a bear.
Oh, man.
It's a cat. And then I begin to wonder, who is this about?
Oh, yeah. No, it's always about you.
It's totally about
It's always about you.
Because I cannot let it go. And I try to, like, decide, like, when is it that I can't let it? Fine. It's a fucking bear.
Right.
Fine. I don't give two shits about the bear.
Yeah.
But, like, when it's dinner time and she's laying out on me the whole, like, I didn't ask for that. And I'm like, yes, you did. And she's like, that's not what I said. And we get into the, that's not what I said. It is what you said.
Right. Well,
I lose my mind.
Yeah. And Ryan's thing is, and this was me when I was a kid. That's the other thing, too, is most of the shit that makes me crazy is the shit that comes directly out of my body.
Right, right.
Like, this has been transmitted to her, and she, when she lies, she smiles. So that is me my whole life.
When she stabs you in the back, she's smiling.
Because we're also psychos. So when she lies, she smiles.
Yeah.
And so, but I will look at her and go, baby, you're smiling. And she's like, I can't control my body. And I'm like, oh, come on. Come on. But the problem is,
you're
going to
be a better liar.
Right. And I mean, that was the thing is that, you know, I'm a shit liar. Mm. And, you know, so I just try not to do it.
Right.
It's what I try not to do. So we're trying to teach that to her. But, you know, so she lies about shit and she will just smile.
Right,
and then I go,
it.
Baby, I know you're lying because you're smiling. And she and then she will start to cry. Now she's crying and smiling, so it's creepy.
Yeah.
And then she's like smile crying, and then she says, you know, she's like, I just can't control my body. And, you know, and it's
can you control your lying?
Yes. And then she'll be like even weirder, God bless her, and she'll be like, don't smile, don't smile. And it's like, oh God. It's just a mess.
So how do you, has she ever busted you on stuff that you're saying that, like, you missaid? Like, let's say it's the old, like, all right, we're going to be going to, you know, I don't know, karate this weekend. We're going to go to karate and then we're going to the mall. It's not karate. It's, we're going to something else.
Right.
I said that.
Right.
No, you said karate. Does she ever bust you? Because my brain doesn't work well anymore.
Oh, yeah.
And so I constantly say the wrong thing. And I'm trying to think, like, what my response usually is.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the thing is, Biz, I do it all right. I never make mistakes.
Oh,
so that's how I get out of that.
That's hard
for
her.
I've never made a mistake.
Well, I try and have the conversation with Katie Bell when we start to get into it. I sometimes, if I'm rational, I try and say, okay, Katie Bell, sometimes it's just not important.
Well,
like, so should we just let it go? Like, if I say you said ice cream and you said Hershey Kiss, doesn't matter if there's a bowl of dessert sitting in front of you of some kind.
Right.
Like, is it, can you roll with it?
Right.
Should we be learning to roll with it?
Right.
Or is it just so important that, like, because, I mean, what if it's just about mishearing? Right.
Well, I'm also the queen of that. I will say, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
But then we get distracted.
Yeah. Well,
and she and I will do something else. Like, I'll say, we're going to take the dogs on a walk, which I never do because they kill me.
Right.
And that's my husband's job. Shouldn't have said that because I would never do that because I'm a monster. I'm a horrible monster and I don't do that. But I said, you know, if I say we're going to go for a walk and then she and I start doing something else. So now it's like 5:30 and it's dinner time. And because I
we're supposed to go on a walk.
Right. And so, but that's the thing is like in a kid brain, you said that.
Yeah.
You said that.
Yeah.
And so then I'll look at her and say, oh, well, but we were making this. We were doing this. And then she'll say, but you said we were going on a walk. And in my brain, that ship has sailed.
Right.
Right? But in her kid brain, you said it. So what I'll say is, I'm so sorry. I lied.
Oh! That's not what my brain was doing.
No, I am a lying liar who lies. And so I said, I'm sorry.
Mama's a little liar.
I'm sorry. I told a lie.
But everything else I tell you is true, baby. Everything's I love true. You.
I said, no, but I'll say, you know, and that's the other thing too, is that I've also realized that the way that I speak to her, and this is also what's cuckoo crazy nuts, is that my husband, Eric, he is an only child.
Eric.
He is an only child. And I always gave his parents a hard time saying, like, you raised him as a third roommate. Right. He never had a childhood. And I realized, holy wow, like, that's what I'm doing. I'm because there are three of us who live in this house, and we do fall into speaking to her
like a person.
Like a grown-up person.
And, you know, and I don't think that's unique just to the one kid. That, I mean, I do that with Katie Bell. I guess maybe the oldest or the first.
Right.
Like the first kid or the only kid gets it probably more before you catch on to the fact, oh, I should be.
Yes.
I should be.
I mean, that's the thing.
Whoops.
That's the thing.
Well, it's so funny that you said that you say that you flat out lie. Because I always try and do like when, because you're right. That is a thing where like I'm in that situation all the time of I've said we're going to do something, then something more fun happens.
Right.
And we don't go do it. And I never thought to say I lied.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't just leave it at that and leave the room, like drop the mic.
I lied. Fix your own dinner.
Yeah. Deal with that in 10 years.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That's not what I'm doing. But I will say, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I lied. And then I'll say, I apologize.
I find this hilarious.
But I do. And then
it's,
I say,
no, it's a logical response. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I lied.
Yeah.
And then I will say, you know, I got so distracted that the time, I'm really sorry. We lost the time.
Yeah.
And now, because we were doing this.
Right.
But yeah, I said that and we didn't because I lied.
Right.
I told a lie.
Well, I'm like, I go down like a much worse pattern of like, well, should we just not have had the fun? Don't worry about the thing. That way we're doing. We're trying to have fun. Are you not having fun? Yeah, I don't know. I guess a lot of this is like, I mean, I guess it just boils down to trying to help teach these kids to like let it go.
Right.
Decide when it's worth correcting them, aka when should I let it go?
Right.
Which is probably a lot more. Or maybe I should just make a t-shirt that says, because I said so.
Because I said so. Yeah.
Britt, one of the fun things about getting to guest host the show is that you are here for a very special Jumbotron.
Yay!
Guys, we have a Jumbotron. And this message is for Rachel Domorotsky from Martha Sullivan. Ahem. Rachel is rocking being an awesome person, friend to many, mother to three, wife, volunteer Polish dance teacher and engineer in Ottawa, Ontario. She is celebrating her birthday, and I wish that she has all the delicious vegan baked goods she can handle. I hit the jackpot to have Rachel as my friend. She inspires me regularly while keeping it real. Love, Martha. Rachel, that's fucking incredible.
Woo!
I mean, for real. Did you? The Polish dancing instructor.
Yeah.
Volunteer, which shows there's a passion. Rachel, you're doing an amazing job. Martha, you are as well. Here's to all of us having friendships like this. Good job. One Bad Mother is supported in part by Blue Apron. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. You've heard us talk about Blue Apron. It's great. They send me recipes that I don't have to overthink. They lay it out for me. All I have to do is prep food, and most of it I can pre-prep earlier in the day and then just pull out, throw in a pot, and boom! It's a chance for us to mix things up and actually feel like I'm cooking. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/badmother. That's blueapron.com/badmother. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Hey, you know what it's time for? This week's Genius and Fails. This is the part of the show where we share our genius moment of the week, as well as our failures, and feel better about ourselves by hearing yours. You can share some of your own by calling 206-350-9485. That's 206-350-9485.
A genius fail time, Britt. genius me.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I saw what you did.
Oh, my God.
I'm paying attention.
Wow.
You, Mom, are a genius.
Oh, my God. That's fucking genius.
Okay. This was my genius because we read, because I'm such a good mother.
See, you're not a horrible mother.
No. We read, and what I realized is I can't read these books anymore. And so probably before she was ready, I introduced her to Harry Potter. So now.
This is your timid, nervous, easy to scare child.
Afraid of the world. Can't be in a room that has, you know, a house that has the game operation. This is terrifying for her.
Right.
Right? So anyway.
You're welcome.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. So. But so I really wanted to reread Harry Potter. Mm. So I introduced Harry Potter, and now we read that, and I'm so excited every night to read. And we're reading more, and then she reads, and I read, and it's super cool. But and also, I mean, I can modify it as need be.
Genius.
Yeah,
that's very good. Yeah, I did the Harry Potter thing with Katie Bell until she took over and made it no fun for me anymore. But you know what's nice? The genius is Harry Potter or whatever, because it really is about picking something that you look forward to reading every night.
Yeah. Because I was like, if I have to read a princess story again, I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah, I'm going to shoot myself in the face.
I can't.
So my genius is we were at the Disneyland parks. Ellis was absolutely not going to use the bathroom at any of the bathrooms at the park. I took all the ideas that have ever been given to me by our listeners. And what I did was I prepared him by saying to him, after we had been in the park for a very long time, and I knew he was full of apple juice.
Right.
We're going to go to the bathroom, and I'm going to give you a lollipop as soon as we are done. And he was like, okay. We get in there. I put the sticky over the automatic flusher so it doesn't flush. We have all, I know, genius, right? And well, if you put it, you bring sticky tabs with you and you cover it and it will not fucking flush.
Oh,
that is other people's genius. I brought the little seat that goes onto the bigger potty. So we were just that family walking around Disney with a seat thing and our stroller. Put it on there, got him on, he used it, we got it there right before the sticky fell off and it flushed us literally out the door. Katie Bell's like, aren't you washing your hands? I'm like, no, we're just getting out of the bathroom. He had the lollipop. It was great. I felt like the biggest weight off my shoulders, even though it was not the most fun. And my child sadly doesn't succumb to bribes as much as I would like him to. He used the potty out in the park.
I'm blown away.
Thank you.
I'm blown away.
I am calling with a genius moment. I have a 5-year-old son who has started to chew and suck on his clothing, partly because his clothes are a little too big as he's growing into them, but it's also like a self-soothing, sucking his thumb equivalent, and it was driving me bonkers, and being reminded to stop sucking on his clothes was not working. And my genius idea was the realization that they now have teething jewelry for moms, and I Googled it, and I found him a kid version. So he now has this like rubber circle with like this really cool symbol on it that he can wear to school. And instead of being told to not chew his clothing, he's being reminded to chew on his necklace. And his clothes are so much better, and everyone is happy. And it was such a genius. Thanks so much. Love your show. Bye.
That's so good. Why I love this genius is like, this is just about a parent solving her problem, like saying, this is something I don't want to happen, you know, but I also am not going to do that thing where I'm like, your only choice is to not do it because it's a kid. And that's never successful, turns out. And finding the solution. And I would never think to look for specifically jewelry or some sort of teething thing for kids.
Right.
And I love just when she said, we're now not telling him no, we're telling him yes to something. I just think that's just a really good job.
That's beautiful.
Really good job. Failures.
Oh, boy.
Fail, 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 fail!
You suck.
Fail me, Brit.
Okay, so my failure is that I realized I have been Munchausening by proxying my child for 7 years. I did not know that. I've always said her whole life, I'm like, she's allergic to Band-Aids. She's not a good healer. She's allergic. She's allergic. So it turns out my daughter, after all this time, is allergic to Neosporin. So I am like the crazy mom. She's got huge gauze pads over tiny boo-boos with paper tape because I'm like, she's a bad healer. No. Neosporin. Because underneath all that madness, I'm just slathering Neosporin on her, and she is allergic. And we just figured it out. So
you're a horrible mother.
I'm horrible.
You are horrible.
Monster.
You're a monster. Okay. We're at the Disneyland Hotel. They have a pool. We're all going to go swimming together. I only have one swimsuit, and I've been wearing it for a year. And it, you know, like it's, I've been taking Ellis to swim classes for the last couple of months. So it's getting a lot more like use than, say, just a swimsuit I put on in the summer once or twice. So it's fading. Like I knew it had been fading, right? Not a big deal. But usually I only put it on in the small dark changing room at the pool. And then I get into the pool, which is an indoor pool. So the lighting's, whatever. I've just always assumed everything was okay. So I'm in the hotel, and I put on the swimsuit, and it has faded in certain places and not other places. And it's also becoming something you can see through. Mm. And so it is, and it may be also a little too small, okay, which I didn't care much about because I was just like getting in and out. But suddenly to be under full lighting and see that the front, top, and the middle is almost threadbare. And then over the behind, it is very dark right over the crack of the back. And then everything else is very light where it's been stretching against the fabric. And now I have to go down to a public pool in the bright sunshine. And like it is... I just looked at it, like Stefan comes out, and I was like, this. I've just been walking around in this in public for a while. And I keep thinking the lifeguards, maybe they think I'm pretty cool. I'm cool. Here comes that cool mom. But now I think they've just been like, holy shit, lady, your swimsuit is inappropriate to be out by yourself or with your kids.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it definitely felt like one of those things like, I just failed as like
a human
in the world with something.
Hmm. Yeah.
Nah, not good.
Oh.
Hey, Biz and Teresa. This is a fail. So I have a 3-month-old baby, and he's got some eczema, and he's got a particularly bad patch on his cheek. And last night, and so, you know, we're putting cream on it and trying to hope it goes away and thinking about taking him to the doctor. But last night, my wife and I are looking at him and saying, oh, his nails are getting long. We should definitely trim those tomorrow. And we go to sleep full of bad intentions. And I get up this morning, and he's just got these bloody gashes on his face because he must have scratched where it itched because now his hands are good enough to do that. And his nails were long, and the cheek was, in bad shape, and so there's just blood all over my baby, and I'm like, oh no, this was entirely my fault because you don't understand about scratching or nails, and you can't do anything about it if you do. So I just feel really bad, and I don't know, do I put a Band-Aid on? You're a baby. So this is, sucks. But thank you for being there to call and, tell you about it.
Yeah.
Bye.
Look, we have all put our children. Ellis has got, I knew kids who had ingrown toenails, and I remember them being this horrible nightmare monster thing. Ellis has, that's something that Ellis had. Like, his toenails just grow in a curve. And I didn't realize this forever, because who's paying attention to toenails?
Right.
I'm not.
Nope.
Good parents probably are, but I'm not. And then, I would be, I'd have to really get under there, which isn't pleasant. And now I know.
Right.
Now you know.
Right.
But the nail thing, there is... there is, at its core, nothing wrong with saying, we'll do that tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's like 90% of parenting. Yeah. I'm gonna get to that tomorrow.
Right.
Because my baby wants to go to sleep. That means I get to go to sleep.
Right.
But there's nothing worse than waking up the next day and realizing maybe you should have done it today.
Right.
But that's okay.
Well, when Ryan was 3 months old.
Yeah.
She was really big and chubby, and she had double chins.
Oh, yeah.
But I was also afraid to touch her, to bathe her.
Yeah.
I was still very hesitant with that and tentative. But it turned out what happened was she had three chins.
Oh.
So there was a third chin hiding up under her second chin, and I had never moved her neck to see it.
Right.
So it was infected.
Full. It was full of some stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a pocket.
It was.
For disease.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it grew.
Oh.
And it bred. And so when we finally went to the doctor, he said, do you ever move her head like this? And I was like, no.
Don't touch her.
I don't do that. And so I was so upset. Mm. That was a KFC night.
Yeah.
I ate a bucket of chicken and cried. Because that's, you know.
Well, 'cause that's how you feel.
Yeah.
That's how you feel. It doesn't erase the fact that you're doing a horrible job of not being on top of every single moment of your 3 month old life with whom you only have had 3 months worth of experience.
And zero sleep.
And literally, there is no book that's like, hey, remember to cut their nails the time. Do you know how hard it is to cut a baby's nails?
Oh, no, it's awful.
It's very difficult.
Awful.
But that said, you're doing awful. And I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry you failed.
I know. You're actually doing a good job.
You are the greatest mom I've ever known. I love you. I love you. When I have a problem, I call you on the phone.
One Bad Mother is supported in part by Movement Watches. Movement Watches was started by two broke college kids that wanted to wear stylish watches but couldn't afford them. These are stylish, beautiful, classic watches that look like you're paying $400 to $500 per watch, but they're only starting at just $95. So Movement figured out that by selling online, they were able to cut out the middleman, providing the best possible price. Again, they're classic design, quality construction, and styled minimalism. You can get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to movementwatches.com/mother. That's MVMTwatches.com/mother to get 15% off. Again, movementwatches.com/mother, and you can join the movement. Britt, let's call a parent.
Yes.
This week, we are calling Meg Collins of the website Lucy's List, which is a survival guide for new moms. Welcome, Meg.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining us. Before we get into Lucy's List, I would love to ask you what we ask all our guests, which is, who lives in your house?
Who lives in my house? I've got 4-year-old Alice. Ta-da! 6-year-old Lucy.
Ta-da!
No surprise there. myself, my husband, Rich, and our super elderly pit bull, who is just sort of, you know, sitting in the window every day, just sort of waiting her time out. Poor dog. So it's just us. It's a full house. It's a house full of love, let me tell you.
Let's get into Lucy's List. And I want to talk about... I don't want to talk about it. I'd like you to talk about how it came about, because I assume it's because parenting came really easy to you, as well as pregnancy. You just like had gotten the best advice, everything.
Oh,
you just like knew, and you just wanted to share that with us, just like the perfection.
So the year was 2009, and... what's one to do when one is unemployed? Get knocked up.
Love it.
Because we have no money. Let's have a baby.
Yeah.
That sounds like a great idea. And so I was sort of the first of my, not the first of my group of friends, but sort of on the leading edge. And I didn't really have any other mom friends who had already taken the plunge near me because, you know, I'm a transplant. So I was in San Francisco at the time. I was really alienated from my pack, from my herd. And I had a really difficult pregnancy. I had hyperemesis, which is the Kate Middleton, the yakking all day disease.
Oh, wow. Awful.
Yeah, it was such an eye-opener.
Well, that's like, I'm just going to interrupt you there, because that's one of those ones where, like, I feel like without experience, and even with experience, if you have that, you have to start thinking at the beginning, is this what they're talking about when people say morning sickness? Like, is this
normal? Yeah, no, but everybody else, see, this is the bad thing about that. Everybody else thinks it's just the garden variety morning sickness. And they're like, oh, you're fine. Oh, I had that. Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah.
Go take a walk or eat saltines. And I mean, if another person said that to me,
yeah,
they're about to lose their lives. You know
right.
what I'm saying? So I was very, and I didn't even know this was possible. I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
I was very, you know, probably a little depressed. I had to go on medication. I had to stop everything I was doing. I mean, I couldn't even take care of myself. It was sort of a dark, dark time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I came out of that. I came out of it fine. You know, Lucy was fine, thank God. You know, everything was great. But having the baby, and again, it was like this. Nobody told me. I was reading Baby Center. I was reading What to Expect. I did not get the memo about just how tough some of this stuff really was.
Yeah.
The nursing and the, you know, the first few weeks of being home with your new baby.
Yeah.
And again, my family was across the country, and it was just a very difficult time. And gear-wise, again, we didn't have very much money, so I wasn't well prepared at all. So I sort of made it my life's mission to sort of like tell everybody else,
right,
the real story of what it's really like to become a mother, all the things that, you know, like can go wrong. Hopefully they won't.
Yeah.
But like, here's how to deal with them, and it's not the end of the world, and yada, yada, yada. So, and then I sort of got really interested in gear, because my background is in engineering, so I'm sort of a geek by trade. And so I sort of would observe what people were buying and what they were doing, and, you know, what they liked, what they hated, and sort of just making these notes. I would just take these notes. And I decided to just post it to like a WordPress site and share it among friends. And then it started getting shared among other friends. And then people on the board started sharing it. So Baby Center, and it sort of took flight from there. And, it just kind of blossomed into what it is now. I never in a million years thought it would become sort of my career. Because I was always very career, you know, minded
yeah.
and driven and everything. So, it's been wonderful. It's been a true blessing to be able to sort of make a life out of this, you know.
Well, what's nice about it, I mean, you know, everybody gets their child, however they're mm-hmm. getting their child.
Right.
And each experience is unique, but we don't always talk about it that way. We tend to talk about sort of generalizations because maybe we do that. So that people will keep having children. Maybe we do it because we completely forget. I forget everything about like my almost the processes that, I mean, like even stuff for like, I have a 3-year-old and my daughter is 7 and like Ellis will start going through something and I'm like, oh, I totally forgot this was a thing we were about to go through.
Yes.
Ah! And
yes.
so, but all that said, again, we have, and we're kind of coming out of this right now, or there are pockets of it, where we tend to, when we share our experiences or want to provide people with information, we sort of polish that turd a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, because
oh, totally.
We don't want people to think that we had a hard time, heaven forbid, which would be the opposite of the show. It is just me talking about a hard time all day long. But like, it's, you know, which can be very intimidating for people who are going out looking for help and information to come upon
yeah.
something that, while there's truth to it, it doesn't feel super truthful. And what I like about your site, and we discovered Lucy's List through a lot of listeners being like, you need to go check out Lucy's List. You guys are the same
well,
people.
So like, nice.
We are of the same tribe. But there was some, there's a lot of honesty going on about it. And while, again, not everybody will have the same experiences that you're like,
you know, and it's not for everyone, and that's fine.
Well, and that's right. fine. But what I want to emphasize is there's some like real truth in it that I like. One of my favorite things is you're talking about after having had the baby, be prepared to see more blood than you've ever seen in your life. Your bathroom floor will look like a scene from Psycho. You will feel sorry for the poor bastard who has to clean up after you. Sorry, janitors. I hope you get paid a lot. And you talk about the thing that I swear I didn't find out till like the minute before I went in was that like all the stuff that was going to be coming out of you and that they were going to give you like the largest like maxi pads that you've ever seen and the like net underpants.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck is this? I already feel like shit. This doesn't make me feel better. Like there,
I brought silk pajamas.
Why would you bring silk pajamas?
Because I didn't know. And I had the vision of me lounging, greeting your new child. I was butt
and your
naked.
White silk pajamas.
Oh, no, they were red. I wasn't a dummy. So, but no, but that's the thing is that exactly that, and that's who I gravitate to are people like you who just, I mean, that's what I didn't have when I went into this experience. You know, my daughter's almost seven.
Well, I feel like if you tell people sort of what to expect, it will help. I
mean,
it will help sort of brace them.
Right.
A few people will kind of get scared off and freak out. Oh, I don't want to know that. And that's fine. But if you tell people what to expect and you sort of can give them these really tangible tips, and then as it happens to them, they're like, oh, no, I know what this is. That's the Accutane. I know what this is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, my nipples are going to hurt a little. You know, then they can cope with it,
right.
You know?
Yeah, no, that's
the getting blindsided part that really got me.
Yeah, because the information, I always feel like that information is what gives you the power and gives you some solace. And
totally.
That's what you provide in a way that's funny, too. The other thing is, too, you got to be able to laugh. And that's what I really
well,
dug
it's
about.
Funny anyway. I mean, it's not that hard to make it funny.
Right.
It's funny, you know?
Yeah.
I came out in those net underwear.
Yeah.
Topless, brushing my teeth with hemorrhoid preparation H cream.
Oh, yeah.
And
you're
crying.
Like, what's become of me?
Yeah. And crying.
You know.
So much crying.
Crying.
What I want to ask about, like, especially the sections, because, like, the website has got, like, super good practical stuff. Like, hey, here's how to, if you're going to put together a registry, here's some ways to break this down, right? Like, because you can get, like, super lost. And then you've got, like, hey, here's some stuff about going into the hospital, having a baby, you know, if that's the way you're doing it, what it's like when you come home, things like that. And I wonder, when you wrote all the experience stuff, was that something that, like, you wrote and then you walked away from, or have you gone back and edited? Because, again, I don't remember. If I was to write that right now, I would be like, it's great.
No, I wrote all of that stuff. I wrote all of that stuff in the moment because I don't think that you can ever reproduce that same those same feelings again.
Yeah.
I don't think you can ever really recall, especially with the mommy brain setting in.
Yeah.
And, I mean, my memory's gotten so bad.
Yeah.
And the same thing, like you said, you forget with your second and all that. Like, and so I wrote it all in the moment. And then I had my second, and that allowed me to kind of do it over again, which was great.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you lose that sort of that intensity of truth. You know, I don't think that I could have gone a year later and then tried to write some of that content and had that recall, you know.
What's also really nice about the site is that you also have a whole area for multiples, for people who are expecting twins and stuff, which I got to tell you, that seems like that should be a given. But again, if it's not your experience, that's not something you would necessarily put on like something that you're working on. So I love that it includes all the information, and you've got people coming in and writing specifically to that.
Yeah, like I could never know what twins mean. Like that's something I could never write myself. So we brought in Annette, and she does all the twins content, which is great. And you know, she has the whole social media stuff, twin specific, and so that's been great. You know, the thing is, a lot of this stuff is just so easily crowdsourced.
Yeah, right.
You put out a question of the day or an issue that one person is having, and 50 other people are having that same issue.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe 50 of them have already solved it somehow, so they're sharing how they solved it. And so we basically just turn that into a whole post.
Yeah.
The power of community is big.
Well, yes. Well, it can be. You know, how has doing this, Lucy's List, has it affected you in any way in how you parent or how you engage with other parents. I know doing this show, you know, for me, one of the things we do a lot is we tell each other we're doing a good job and we tell everybody you're doing a good job. And I have a very hard time accepting that when somebody tells me. And like, you can, there's like this moment I was like going back, you know, I have to edit all that. I have to listen to myself over and over every week after recording it. And like 3 years in, I heard myself finally accept when Teresa at the end of the show told me I was doing a good job for the first time ever, not making a joke. And like, there's just something about having the community and being exposed and like repeating certain mantras to yourself and to other people that, you know, it's sort of like fake it till you make it a little bit. Like, have you had that experience totally. With this in what
yeah,
you've
shared? Yeah, I mean, I used to always tell people, like, if people knew how chaotic our home life was sometimes, and I mean, everybody's home life is chaotic with the kids and, you know, but like, I'm the last person who has everything figured out. And I think that's sort of like, and I joke, oh my God, people are taking advice from me. This is frightening, you know, because none of us have, I mean, you know, especially when the kids were little and you'd have like a baby and a 2-year-old, you know, baby and a 3-year-old. And you just, those days where you just wanted to die, you know, and,
yes, literally. You would like to walk away and get milk and never come back. Yes, I know. Familiar.
And those days were really tough.
Yeah.
And I used to say, like, God, I hope people don't expect me to have it figured out, because I certainly don't. I mean, I'm sort of like, people would laugh if they could see me pulling my hair out right now. I mean, it's the last thing from, if anything, I just learn from others. I take tips from others. And then when you do master something, you feel so, you know, you want to share that with people and you feel really proud. Like, oh, I did X, Y, Z. And, you know, for dealing with tantrums, I mean, all these behavioral problems, there are problems that everybody has, right? Yeah. And no, there's really no good solution to a lot of them, like sleep training or tantrums. But just to get some tidbits and figure out what might have worked for somebody else is very useful, I think.
Yeah.
Because we're all pulling our hair out, you know?
Right.
Well, Meg, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for creating Lucy's List. We're going to link
you.
People up to it. So if you're expecting, or you just had a baby, or if you just want to go back and revisit all the things that you wished you had back in your day, like I like to do, this is a really good place to do it.
Tell your friends.
Yeah. So everybody do check it out. Again, Meg, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Biz. I appreciate it. Have a great one.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Pick up the phone when you like on this moving now, no longer stone.
The first ever Very, Very Fun Day is coming to Tally Hall in Chicago on February 11th with media sponsorship from WBEZ 91.5. Advanced tickets are sold out, but we will have a limited number of tickets for sale at the door. So come on out for a day jam-packed with 5 great Max Fun podcasts, 4 local shows, and a comic showcase. For more information, please visit MaximumFun.org/Very Very Fun Day.
Going into a Bullseye interview, I know that it's somebody who does amazing work, but it's also a real conversation, so I don't know where it's headed.
I think you just clarified something for me that's never been really clear before.
This is the most serious I've ever been in my life. You've made me completely serious. I feel like I'm in therapy.
Bullseye, creators you know, creators you need to know. Find it at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get podcasts.
That was fun.
I love her.
I know. I really
I
do. I like Meg. I like her site. I feel like she keeps it real without being presumptuous, that it's everybody's experience. And again, even just the gear stuff, they do reviews of new gear and they do it by pricing, which is really great. So you're not like, it's not somebody just trying to push you the most expensive suggestion.
Right.
So, you know, good job, Meg. I thought that was nice.
Yeah, I love it.
You know what I also love is listening to a mom have a breakdown. So let's listen to a mom have a little rant.
Hey, Biz and Teresa, this is a rant. I just was calling to complain about the fact that unsalted saltines exist. my whole family is sick with the stomach flu, and my mom was very sweet and brought us saltines, but she brought us unsalted saltines. I don't want just teens. I want saltines. It's shit. We need the real thing up in here. We're all dying. I love you guys. Thank you for having the show. I appreciate it so much. You can't even know. Have a great day. Bye.
From the cave of madness comes the truth.
Oh, God.
I love this so much. Because this is what happened. Fair enough. No one wants fucking teens. We want the salt in the saltines when we're sick. Okay?
I didn't know that existed.
Who knew that existed? But there's the larger rant in here is that, like, when everybody's sick, there is such a joy that you may have somebody who will bring you something to make you feel better. We need help. You ask for help. Help comes, and it's not helpful. And there's nothing worse than, like, being in that position where you want to say to the person who has just helped you, this is not fucking helpful.
Right.
This is not, can you go back and get something that's more, we're all vomiting left and right. We're all sick. There's nothing worse than when everybody in your house, including you, is sick. And you get the help. It's not what you want. And that's really frustrating. And you're stuck with that guilt and anger of, well, somebody at least helped us, so I should just eat my fucking teens and be fine with it. When you want to say, oh, thank you for helping, but can you help better? Like, this is not, like, I need this actual thing. And so, like, there's the guilt and the anger and whatever form it comes in.
Oh, yeah. No, after I birthed my baby, after I had my child, I had specifically said to some friends,
oh, yeah,
all I want is an ice cold Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
I want it in the can. Yeah. I want it ice cold.
Ice cold.
And it came. And it was lukewarm.
Yeah, it's lukewarm. It's not fucking cold.
If they hear this, they're going to be like, wait, all this time she's been holding on. Yes, I've been holding on to it. Because, like, really, what?
But just make it ice cold. That's this one thing.
Come on.
Like, if you're offering a person who is, like, crazed with children or pregnant or just had or suddenly the adoption agency's shown up and their house is full of children, like, whatever it is. However, suddenly they're in this thing or they're all sick, ask for specifics.
Right.
Can I bring you something? Yes. Do you want club soda or 7-Up or Sprite?
Right.
There's a difference. Oh, you're doing a great job.
A great job.
You asked for help.
Yep.
I am sorry it was delivered in the form of something you didn't like. But good job dealing with sickness in your house. And good job venting at us and not the deliverer of the teens. Okay? So you're doing a great job. Britt, what did we learn today? We learned that children have a vivid fantasy life and that sometimes it's not fun for us because it's different than I'm a princess or I'm a rabbit. And it's more like, no, I didn't take that $5 out of your drawer, or I'm going to have an argument with you about something that's insane and meaningless. Why don't you stop? No, why don't you stop? No, why don't you stop? No, why don't you stop?
Right.
So we learned that. We learned that it's probably us who should stop and alter, help guide our children to learn the difference between alternative facts and truth in a way that is healthy and not possibly irrational given lack of sleep. Or power struggles that we feel we have to win because we're not winning anything. Do you even want dessert? I could just take this ice cream away.
No.
Ask me again. Yeah. Say it again.
Yeah. Well, I have had my husband say to me, you are an adult.
I know.
And I will say, you don't know what she just said to me. And he's like, no. Still, you're still the adult.
And she hasn't paid her rent this month.
Yeah, no. I mean,
what we've really learned is that Teresa Thorne is somewhere out there doing the most amazing job right now.
Mind-blowing.
We welcome to the community and to the world Sir Curtis, who I predict will have the most awesome bangs ever. I don't know why, but it's how I envision Curtis when she told me. So welcome to the world, young Curtis. We miss you. We're going to be checking in with Teresa over the next couple of weeks to see how she's doing before she returns to us after maternity leave. And also, just a reminder, we're going to be bringing in lots of different voices over the next couple of weeks to join me via phone or here in the booth to talk about parenting, just to mix things up while Teresa's in her forest. So it's going to be exciting. Everybody, you're doing a really remarkable job. This is really difficult. It is not always fun. Sometimes it's great fun. They don't cancel each other out. Both exist. Let's continue to go out and build some tribes, however we need to do that, to get help when we need it. And to remember it's okay if to ask to be clearer and ask for clarification and the help that we've requested. It's okay, guys. It's okay. You're all doing great. Britt, thank you so much for joining me. You are doing a very good job, Britt.
Well, thank you, Biz. And I'm just so pleased and happy to be here because you are a light. You and Teresa are a light. And it's seriously, it's just, you are my people. And everyone listening is my people. And yeah, I was just honored. Very happy.
Thank you so much for joining us. And I, so weird, we'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
I got to low down mama blues. I got to low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues. Low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues. You know that right.
We'd like to thank Max Fun, Lindsay Pavlis, our engineer, our husbands Stefan Lawrence and Jesse Thorne, our perfect children who provide us with inspiration to say all these horrible things, and of course, you, our listeners. To find out more about the songs you heard on today's podcast and more about the show, please go to MaximumFun.org.
One Bad Mother is a member of the Maximum Fun family of podcasts. To support the show, visit MaximumFun.org and click on Donate.
Do you have a genius or fail moment you'd like to share on the show? Then leave us a message at 206-350-9485. Full-on rage-induced rants are also welcome.
Well, Daddy may be fussing by, got low down mama blue. Oh, said Daddy may be fussing by, got low down mama blue.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.